Oh, good. Okay, so starting out, I'm taking the con position. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you to the organizers, and thank you for being able to debate Ward, who is clearly a mentor to many of us, but he's wrong today. 25 years of epidemiologic and biologic studies are not so clean as what Ward has showed you today. He's pulled the wool over your eyes because they have attempted to assess the relationship between contraception, especially injectable DMPA, and HIV acquisition, as well as transmission, which we won't talk about today. The fact that we're here today having this debate is proof enough, in my mind, that there is not yet a definitive answer to this question. And I will argue that this is really one of perspective, where you have to look at this in the right way, and from the right perspective, to not gain the wrong type of answer. Otherwise, this is what you'll find. So my perspective, a careful one illustrated by the microscope here, is that I have three principal critiques. The data are inconsistent and far from definitive. The potential for confounding and thus biased answers is extremely high, and the risk on acting on wrong conclusions is just too great. This is what Ward didn't show you, which is from a systematic review conducted last year, and these are all the prospective studies that have been done associating DMPA and HIV risk. And when I look at a forest plot like this, I want to draw a line sort of down the middle of the data to find out the best comparison. But wait, that line is already there. It's at 1, because that's the middle down the line there, because the data are all over the map, from substantial protection to substantial increased risk, making you look like this when you look at the data. Those of us in this field feel this way a lot. Ward brought us the best studies on his slide, which he failed to mention were never called the best in that paper. They were called studies meeting minimal quality criteria, which is how you'd love to describe your own work, right? Minimal quality criteria, best. And these are no better. There is barely better agreement here among these studies, with many confidence intervals crossing 1 and many point estimates on or below 1 even. And let's look at what that definition of quality was in that systematic review. Prospective measurement of contraception, so simply measuring the exposure, loss to follow-up less than a quarter, or some attempt to control for confounding or otherwise just doing epidemiology. That's a pretty low bar for quality. And of course, there are suspicious researchers here too. So the data are inconsistent and far from definitive. There are problems with the data in this field. Observational designs for these kind of analyses are weak, particularly for detecting risk estimates less than 2. And there are many examples from outside our field, such as the relationship between contraception and breast cancer or pregnancy termination and breast cancer, that have tried to assess the relationship for small associations like this that have been equally problematic. Results are inconsistent across studies, and measurement of contraceptive exposure was often very poor and rarely well planned as part of the initial study design. No wonder the results are all over the map. My second critique is that the potential for confounding is high. The relationship we want to look at here is the one on top with the red. Does contraception increase HIV acquisition risk? Condom use is undoubtedly a confounder here, related to contraceptive practices and, of course, predictive of HIV risk. But the relationship becomes more complex. With the potential for bidirectional relationships, contraception influencing condoms, condoms influencing contraception, and also prior risk behaviors, previous contraceptive and condom use influencing contraceptive and condom use now. That's a lot to control for. Plus, on top of that, it gets worse. Coital frequency, pregnancy, and STIs are also potentially related to both condoms and contraception and may further confound this relationship. I don't know how you could possibly control for all of this in an observational data set. High unmeasured confounding risk thus leads for high potential for confused results like Ward's flooded brain is full with today. The third critique I had is that there is risk. There is real risk, and with all seriousness, there is real risk of acting on wrong conclusions. These are data from The Lancet from a few years ago on the left showing the actual number of maternal deaths worldwide in 2008, but the white space highlighted in red on top of that, the number of deaths that were averted by effective contraceptive use. These are mathematical modeling, incredibly important. Because what here we have is that mathematical modeling data to suggest what might happen if an effective contraceptive were removed and not replaced, an effective contraceptive like DMPA. This is a paper from last year published in AIDS showing in yellow, orange, and red, 5, 10, 15, or greater percentage increases in maternal mortality if DMPA were withdrawn from markets where HIV is prevalent and not replaced with an equally effective contraceptive. So if the risk is not true, the outcome is that there is increased maternal morbidity and mortality. So you better be right with before you remove a contraceptive. Because here's the situation. The potential that the observational data are wrong is high. The magnitude of risk is modest and easily problematic by confounding. So if you act on this potential risk, thus throwing out a widely used and highly acceptable, as Ward showed us, 60, 70, 85% of women using contraceptive, your risk is very high. Or like the little telescope looks at here, if you're only looking at the risk you want to look for, of course you'll see it, but you'll miss the rest of the sky. So the next research, my perspective, is the next research and policy steps must be made recognizing that the data are anything but definitive, and the risk of acting on an erroneous proposition is great. So whose perspective do you trust? This singular perspective presented by Ward, only looking at what he wants to look at, with his rose-tinted glasses. Doesn't that look like him? It does. That's how he always is. Or a balanced epidemiologist conducting a close and careful review of the data. Vote con. Thank you.
I think both of you have laid down the gauntlet for each other, and you're now allowed rebuttal time. It's 3 minutes each, so Ward gets the first try.
Jared. You know, young epidemiologists, they love to confuse you with all these confounding and line diagrams and pictures and what have you. Who do you really believe in all of this? Let's look at this.